Hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Rooting out a cancer like ISIL won't be easy and it won't be quick. But tyrants and murderers before them should recognize that kind of hateful vision ultimately is no match for the strength and hopes of people who stand together.
Fighting for Idaho.
We will kickstart our economy. We will reform K-12 education, and we will get Arizona out from underneath the thumb of our federal government.
Fighting for you.
It's that time of year for the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Our friend Scott Spencer with us.
It's an iconic community tradition, and I'm so pleased that my guys are all involved in it. I get very excited about it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, currently it is 58 degrees right now in Eagle with Kevin Miller in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic underway. We go to our great friend, meteorologist Larry Gebhard. Hello, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to talk to you this morning.
Great to talk to you. One of your favorite events, although you're involved in so many. Your thoughts today?
Today is like one of those ideal days. It's perfect. You may remember last year we had several days we couldn't launch. We had as many as almost 50 balloons on Sunday morning last year that couldn't launch because of the wind conditions in the area. So what they did was more than half of those pilots set up their balloons, tethered them, and gave rides to the kids. So based on that, they decided that was such a fun event. That's why today is Town Square Media Kids Day. And this is the day that has been sponsored by you guys at KIDO, 580 KIDO, and all the other good stations that are involved with Town Square Media. This is Kids Day. We were inviting kids to come out. About half of the balloons on the field this morning will stay tethered to the ground. The other half are going to fly. Now, today is kind of a smaller start. There's 20 of the balloon pilots who are here this morning, so roughly about 10 will be in the air. 10 will be down here on the ground. And I can tell you, Kevin, that the conditions are pretty much ideal. As we did the readings of the air over the field this morning up to about 2,000 feet, most of the winds are moving just very gently out of the southeast or the east, so that means that the pilots are just going to fly very gently over the city this morning. For those who are out driving and listening to you this morning, don't watch the balloons while driving. If you feel like you want to watch the balloons, pull over and take a gander. But you will see at least about 10 of the pilots are going to be up in the sky this morning. The rest will stay tethered here at the park to give kids rides.
Larry Gebhard joining us from Channel 7 here. Larry, what's it like for you to be doing this?
It's a lot of fun, Kevin. You know, since we are the official station and I'm the official meteorologist that does the pilot briefings for this event, you know, there's a science that goes into this. We use a theodolite, which is normally our surveying type of equipment. And what we do is we track the azimuth and elevation as a balloon, because we use a helium balloon. We know how fast, if there were no winds or nothing in the air, we know how fast that balloon would rise straight up. So based on that, every 15 seconds, we take another reading, azimuth and elevation, to see where the balloon is moving and how the winds are shifting it. Then we put those into a formula, and we can calculate how fast the winds are moving above the field, which direction they're going, if we should have something that we call a box wind. A box wind, of course, is where the winds move one direction at a certain elevation. You go up higher, they go the exact opposite at a higher elevation. And then as you come back down, you can catch those first winds again, creating a box in the sky. And it's the few times that a pilot from a hot air balloon can actually land in the same spot that they took off. Doesn't happen very often, but does happen quite often in our area based on the terrain.
Larry Gebhard with us here today at 580 KIDO from Channel 7 down at Ann Morrison Park. Larry, what goes into your predicting the wind and everything for these guys?
Well, I say we take those readings, we take those wind readings, and then what we do is we calculate that, and so we can tell the pilot how fast the winds are moving. And I can tell you that the winds above the field are moving right between about 7 to maybe 10 miles per hour, and that's about it. And they're all almost moving in the exact same direction, and that goes up 2,000 feet. Most pilots are not going to go more than about 2,000 feet off the ground. Occasionally, they get up around 3,000 from the average terrain. But basically, it's only about 2,000. So those are the winds that they're most concerned with. And I can tell you that they're all just moving one direction. And that means that the pilots are all going to just very gently float out over the city.
Larry, how much longer do we have you for?
They're just ready to start the command for inflation. They're going through some of the opening ceremonies. The mayor from Boise, Mayor Dave Beter, is here this morning. He's the one that's going to give the command to inflate. for today, and so they're going through some of the opening ceremonies with that. We anticipate that they'll give that command to Inflated about 7:15, so I think that roughly around 7:30 is about the time you should start to see some of those balloons in the air.
All right, Larry, a final thought, certainly the big story involving you this week.
Oh, yes, Kevin, yeah. The fact that I was diagnosed and treated for prostate cancer. Yeah, I came forward and released all that information on the air as of Monday. And it's been an interesting experience, of course, being diagnosed with cancer, because like many men out there in the world, I think we all somehow feel like we are, you know, unaffected by things, that nothing's ever going to go wrong with us. I know that I'm like one of the healthiest people I know. I never seem to get sick. I never have any problems. I've never had any kind of issues. So definitely came as a shock to me when I was diagnosed. And the reason I was because I was diligent about being tested every year. It's a PSA test. And I started that years ago at some of the free screenings that I was promoting. I started doing it, and I did it every year, and I kept track of the records. I knew exactly what my numbers were, and when my numbers went up, they didn't go up much. It only went up a little bit, but they did go up. And that's when the urologist, Dr. Joe Williams, told me, he says, you know, we need to do a biopsy. And the biopsy clearly showed that I had cancer.
Larry, we will hear from you more, and we appreciate your honesty and your quest to help others.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. Good talking to you.
All right. Larry Gebert joining us live from Ann Morrison Park. And we'll talk to Larry more about his battle with cancer, and certainly an inspirational story here this morning at 580 KIDO. Joining us now, a man that is always up for the fight, always ready to give every side of the story, Mike Tracy with us, Tracy Communications, man of the world. Good morning, Mike Tracy.
Good morning, Kevin. It's always good to talk with you. And Larry, congratulations to you for your diligence and your work on that. I had a scare with it, and I have lots of friends who have gone through the process. So I'm very diligent about it myself, and I applaud you for letting people know and giving people hope, and also letting people know that there's options out there.
Indeed, and you know that's something that we can't replace, our health.
No. Not at all.
Well, Mike, were you shocked that the West Ada bond went down?
Not really. I think there was low voter turnout is always kind of a – that's just a given in special elections. Especially at this time of year, people are not fully engaged yet. Labor Day, the weekend hasn't even arrived yet, so this is really – one of the deadest weeks of dead weeks in the summer when it comes to any kind of political activity. So when you're looking at elections, especially special elections, turnout is generally going to be very low unless you find some way to push people out to vote in a specific direction.
You know, you take a look at the comments of Dr. Clark, the West Ada superintendent, saying that they will go back again and try harder. Of course, we've seen that in CUNA. We saw it a couple of years ago in Meridian. Do you think that's really fair to the voters, considering that the voters shot it down? They didn't get 2/3.
I think what if the voters are going to be approached again, and I think Dr. Clark and her team will, when she talks about working hard, I think what she's talking about is making sure that she connects with voters in a very real way and saying, okay, Here are the needs. Here's what we're doing to trim costs. You know me, I do not like tax increases. In fact, I'm always looking for ways to cut taxes. But if there's a real need, show me the need. If there's a real problem, let's find a solution to this. Because my grandkids, I just registered my grandkids who live with me in the Meridian School District, which is now the West Ada School District, in the schools in the last couple of weeks. And they are getting very crowded. One's in a charter school and one's in Heritage Middle School. And so they are getting crowded. That being said, is everything being done that can be done? And that is the challenge for the management team, for the superintendent, to really get that across to the people in that school district, those school district boundaries. Because what Dr. Clark is looking at is one of the most conservative regions of the entire state of Idaho, where her district, her school district, is one of the most conservative anywhere in the state of Idaho. So that means she has a real challenge. And the fact that she got 62, almost 63%, I think tells me that a lot of the parents, a lot of the people that showed up at the polls understand there's a need. And I'm not advocating one way or the other for this. I'm just pointing out what I see and what I'm observing. Because I do see a need, but by the same token, what steps have been taken to make all the other cuts? Have we exhausted all the other possibilities? And if those questions are answered yes, okay, then what is the next step? Is that $104 million the best way to go, or should we find other alternatives, other directions, other solutions?
An interesting point, Mike Tracy, and let's go to Jim in Middleton. He has a comment on this, and I do want to get back with you because education seems to be the great riddle, not only in Idaho but across the country. But let's go to Jim in Middleton for Mike Tracy with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin, and good morning there, Mike.
Good morning.
I wanted to comment, you know, we've had these levies out in Middleton and other areas in the Treasure Valley. Every time they're voted down, if we're going to retry it, you know, we're going to, maybe we didn't connect with the voters. Can't we just leave it alone? It was voted down. Look for other alternatives. I mean, the people are so, they're taxed to their eyeballs. And sometimes, and I'm just being a little facetious, sometimes school board administrators, teachers, and so forth hide behind kids like the jihadists. And just cut your budget and go that way. I mean, can't these people understand the American people are taxed enough, and every time a levy is voted down, it is, well, we're going to retry it, we're going to spend more money to get back out there. I'm just sick and tired of that.
Jim, you really make a good point. And, in fact, it's interesting that you bring that up. In the mid-1980s, I lived in Pocatello, and I was on the library board in Pocatello, and I was the vice chairman. And we needed a new library because literally the one that we had was built for a community of about 10,000 people. And at the time, we had 50,000 people in Pocatello. And it was like having a little house on the prairie library for a town of 50,000 people. It was really too small. So we put a bond on the thing, and we got slaughtered. Only 47% of the people voted for it. So we went back to the drawing board, and we did find another solution. There was a Buttrees grocery store that had closed in Pocatello, and we got together, and one of the people on our board in our group said, why don't we just ask Buttrees to give us the building because it's just sitting there doing nothing. It was $1.1 million worth of property, and guess what? We asked for it, and Buttrees gave it to us, and all of a sudden we had a new building for a library, and it didn't cost the taxpayers a dime. And it was a great solution, and we ended up having a new library for Pocatello, and this was 30 years ago, and you're absolutely right. Sometimes there's creative solutions, and there may be a solution here that is different than going back to the taxpayers and saying, boy, we really need this bond. My wife is a teacher in the Nampa School District, Jim. She teaches special ed, and she runs the special ed department in the South Middle School in Nampa. And I can tell you she has a lot of challenges. She doesn't have an aide this year for the first time. Her sister is a teacher in the Meridian School District. I know exactly what their challenges are because I hear it at the breakfast table and the dinner table.
Yeah.
And I also hear it at night when I'm going to bed. I hear about the challenges. So I hear the pluses and the negatives and all of that. What we really need to do is find a solution that works for everybody, that is not taxing on the taxpayers, and that also at the same time takes care of the students and the teachers, because those are the folks on the at the ground level that really are affected the most. If there's ways to cut other places, and the administration may not like to hear this, but sometimes it's administration and other things that need to be looked at. I say look at those things, and if those things have been cut to the bone and really cut,
then you have to look at all the solutions that are on the table and then say, okay, what is the most logical direction to go?
All right, Jim, thank you for the call. Mike Tracy, how long do we have you this morning?
Well, I'm headed to another meeting that I have at 7:30, but I'll be happy to talk later. I always enjoy talking with you, Kevin. It's wonderful.
Well, Jim appreciates it. Mike Tracy, we do. Thank you for coming on such short notice, and we want to take advantage of your expertise, certainly from here on in. So thank you, sir.
Well, it's fun. Thanks for what you're doing, too.
Take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye. Our great friend Mike Tracy breaking it down for us. We'll take your calls coming up. Let's see. We've got Sam and Meridian. Patriot Ray and Tea Party Bob, hang on. Your calls are next. Talking about the Meridian levy, the West Ada levy going down. Phone number is 580-5436. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We don't need no education.
Uh-oh, I guess we could insert We Don't Need No Common Core. Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Talking about the big defeat yesterday of the West Ada school bond. You got a lot of votes here. What is it, 62.7%, 37.2% against it. The deal was, turnout was light, 10% of the eligible voters. And you need two-thirds to make it happen. Meridian was expected to get 650 new students. Now 851 for a total of 36,962 kids in the West Ada District. Dr. Clark, the superintendent, says we're going to try again and we're going to work harder to make it happen. Let's go to Sam and Meridian at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Sam.
Hey, good morning. Don't try again. Just don't try again. I mean, what do you expect, that we're not going to vote it down again? I guess, number one, that's my point. We don't need it again. I mean, if we've said no, try something different. Maybe we need to change our paradigm thinking of, just as an example, maybe we go to some kind of a permanent building levy. And it doesn't have to be big, but that way when we need something, thanks everyone for paying this permanent building levy. The funds are already here. Thank you very much. We don't have to ask you again. The funds are here. And we've saved up the last 5-6 years, and here it is. Here's the new building, and it's not going to cost you any more than what it cost you last year. We've just saved our money. What about consolidating school districts? I mean, schools on the east side of this valley have fewer students than the West Ada school district. Why not just move students from one school to the east? Why do we have to have two school districts? It's a pretty small area for two school districts. I don't understand that. Or three or four. I think the time has come that these administrators have got to start thinking differently. The other thing that irritates me is that these are glorified school teachers running a school district that has a couple hundred million dollars in budget, and it really concerns me that they're not willing to shift their paradigm thinking at all, because this is the way it's been done. This is the way it's always been done, and we have to do it this way. No, we don't. Things change all the time. Change your thinking. Move on. Let's try something different.
Sam, thank you for the call. We go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO.
Whatever.
Well, it was either between you and Tea Party Bob, so I was looking at one and pressing the other. So
there you go. I understand. One of the things that angers me and the reason I vote down bonds is the first thing they do is they try to scare us. They still got to cut teachers. They're going to have to cut the cafeteria staff or custodial staff. They never, ever talk about cutting the higher-ups. They never talk about cutting when we have two or three superintendents for one school. And we have vice principals up the hind end. We've got all these things that are happening, but yet they're not willing to really cut in the areas. And it's the same thing with the local government or our state government, federal government, that they get so much money allotted to them every year, and then they have got to spend every penny by the end of the year, or they don't get the funds again the next year. That's illogical thinking. Anytime you do something like that, it's ridiculous. we need to get back on track. And you cannot tell me it is cheaper for the federal government to leave military equipment overseas and just bring it back when we have to purchase it again. It's just a money scheme. It's a way to get those people that manufacture that stuff more money. So look at the money, look where it's going, and maybe if they start considering how they can really save and how they can really produce for our children. Other countries don't spend the money that we spend on our kids, and yet because of the political correctness of stuff, can't educate them the way they should be educated. So common core you got to go, too.
All right, Patriot Ray, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Quickly to Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO.
Morning, Kevin. How are you? How's vacation?
Well, too short.
It's always too short, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to say a couple of things. The first thing is that you come up with a levy for $18 million the last time we went to the polls. Now you come up with $104 million. I mean, is there any planning that actually goes on as to how they're going to do these levies? They know the economic growth of Meridian. It's been growing exponentially. Why wasn't this planned for 2 or 3 years ago? And why didn't they have the opportunity to start putting this money away 2 or 3 years ago instead of asking for it time after time after time? I don't mind paying for good schools. And I don't mind paying when you have to build schools, because eventually that's going to be a good thing for my neighborhood, because people move to neighborhoods where you have good schools and good teachers. The problem is that where is the planning going on within the school system, and why aren't they a little bit more astute about when they're going to need the money and how much they're going to need? I just think it's poor on their part.
Tea Party Bob, Gem State Patriot, we appreciate it, sir.
Have a good day.
All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
News. Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Let's go live to Gaza now, joined by Fox News Radio's Emily Wither. Emily, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you today?
You know, Emily, I've been catching your reports at the top of the hour on Fox News Radio, and what's it like there being at the Gaza?
Well, it's a lot different to the last time I was here, because the last time I came to Gaza, the conflict was still ongoing. It was just the constant sound of Israeli airstrikes, buildings were shaking around me. We could hear drones, rockets being fired, and the streets were pretty deserted. Today, it's back to business as usual. Everyone's back out on the streets again. Many people are trying to return home. The markets are busy. But, I mean, the destruction here is unimaginable. The place looks like it's been hit by an earthquake. There are huge high-rise buildings that have just been reduced to nothing but rubble. It's incredible. Yet life is just ticking along. You can see people on donkey carts or with these sort of large wheelie bins just picking up rubble and trying to move it out of the way. But, I mean, the level of destruction, it will take some time to rebuild this place. More than 20,000 homes have been destroyed. More than 100,000 people are homeless. Yet still, Hamas is claiming that this is a victory. And I've just been told that in about 20 minutes' time, Hamas are going to stage a big victory parade here in Gaza City.
Kind of strange when you consider the concessions they got were pretty much what it was before the missiles started. So you blew more than half your missiles, a lot of damage in the Gaza. Did they really accomplish anything to celebrate with a parade?
Well, exactly. You make a very good point there, that the conditions of this particular ceasefire deal are very similar to the same terms that we saw back in 2012 when the two sides last had an outbreak in fighting. But I spoke to a member of Hamas earlier from the political wing, and he said that it is a victory, despite the fact that the ceasefire is pretty bare bones at the moment. The fact that Hamas, they say, were able to hold their own for 50 days of conflict against what is one of the world's most powerful military forces, you know, helped by the U.S. They have an amazing air force, and they also outnumber people living here in Gaza, the militant groups, yet they continue to be able to fire rockets no matter how many airstrikes were dropped here. And they say that that really is a victory, because it's shown the Israelis they can fire rockets, they can reach any part of the country, and because of that, the Israelis will be forced to listen to them more and to take their demands more seriously when the two sides return to the negotiating table in a month or so's time to talk about some of these key issues.
Well, what about the elephant in the room, the tunnels?
Well, they don't actually sit in a room together. I mean, they don't talk face-to-face. It's all mediated through the Egyptians. And the tunnels, of course, the big question is, have they been destroyed or have they not? The Israelis say that they did manage to destroy this tunnel network that Hamas had been using to bury into Israel to try and stage attacks. But we've heard from Hamas members here that not all the tunnels have been destroyed. And the Israelis are also deeply suspicious about allowing concrete materials to come into Gaza. As I said before, many homes have been destroyed here, and so they need building materials to rehabilitate the Gaza Strip. But the Israelis are reluctant to allow that because they fear that Hamas will just simply use these materials to build tunnels again.
Really, it does come down to the level of trust and the idea that the Israelis are going to give them humanitarian aid, and not only that, here at 580K IDO, but they're going to give them construction and stuff equipment, which is what they used to build the tunnels to begin with.
There will be a bit of a difference here. Humanitarian aid is going to start getting in through Rafah, which is the Egyptian crossing. The blockade is going to be eased. Some building materials will manage to get in. But, you know, you say that the level of mistrust, I mean, it's still very high. Neither side trusts each other. So it really remains to be seen whether the Israelis will be able to get their demands, which is for Hamas and the other militant groups here to disarm, and whether they will get their demands, which is their own sea and airport, and a complete lifting of the blockade. I also asked this Hamas political member earlier if they would ever disarm. I said, you know, would you fulfill this demand that the Israelis want? And they said not until they have their own state. And then once they had their own state, well, they wouldn't have to disarm because they'd have their own state. So it's just, again, this vicious circle of violence. And many people are skeptical here in Gaza, but also on the Israeli side, too, that this time is any different to the previous.
Emily Wither joining us live from Gaza. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Finally, Emily, what's the mood in Israel?
People in Israel are very happy that the fighting stopped because many lives have just been completely disrupted by the fighting this summer. Events have been cancelled. People have had to evacuate their homes. More than 70%, Kevin, living in the south of the country, have just left and gone north or to Jerusalem or to Tel Aviv. The school, the fall year, was due to start next week. That had been cancelled. So there'll be big relief that kids will be safe enough to go back to school. But actually, politically, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, has come out of this not looking too great at all. And the Israeli papers here are attacking him for signing a deal at any price. They say it was a bad deal. He negotiated with terrorists. And actually, the Israeli media say that the prime minister actually didn't put the ceasefire to cabinet for a vote because he knew he wouldn't pass it. Many of his own lawmakers within his cabinet have criticized that there is a ceasefire. They wanted the fighting to continue because their aims of destroying Hamas were simply not achieved.
Emily Wither, to be continued. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, there we have it. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Exclusively from the Gaza, only here. And, of course, that influences us. We've got the situation in Syria, which we'll get to. And do you believe that ISIS will come to America? Joining us now is OOO from Eagle at 580KIDO. Hello, O.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning. Welcome back.
Well, good to be back. I got a question for you, but I think you have a question for me, so let's get it started.
All right. I have three questions. All this talk about hot air balloons has got me thinking. Here's my three questions for you this morning. What only goes down?
The value of the dollar.
West Ada County bond levies. What only goes up?
What's that?
Obamacare premiums.
Oof.
And lastly, what could go either way?
The electorate.
The two dudes on the Sonic Drive-In TV commercial.
You think the did you hear that the military is going to, I think, allow transgenders now?
Well, my high school algebra teacher used to call them convertibles.
Convertibles?
Yes.
I see. We'll just let that one go. So I've got a question for you, O.
Fire away.
Now, in your other life, you're a big money guy. You know all about the big money. You know where it's buried, how to get it, blah, blah, blah. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
What do you make of Burger King saying, we'll be seeing you, because, well, they're buying Tim Hortons, Tom Hortons, Bill Hortons, Billy Bob Hortons, whatever, a donut and coffee shop in Canada, and a lot of people say it's because the tax rate in America is 40%. The tax rate in Canada is 27%. Your thoughts as a guy that watches the markets and watches the value of these companies?
Well, that's exactly why they're doing it, for tax purposes, and you can't hardly blame them when we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. Companies don't have to be headquartered here. And secondly, if you've never eaten at a Tim Hortons, they're really good. It's a good deal. I'd rather eat at a Tim Hortons than a Burger King.
Well, but a Burger King is an American company. It's America.
Yeah, I got that. It's a strategic move on their part, and I don't think there's a whole lot you can do to stop them.
Huh. So you agree, could we see more and more of these things happening?
Absolutely. It's been happening for a couple of years, and it will continue to happen, although there's a move afoot in Congress to somehow stop companies from doing this. Good luck with that.
Roger that. Oh, from Eagle. What, people want to look at you. Where can they get you at?
Just oscott.com.
Oscott.com. He's always good. He's always fun. He's our friend O. Thank you, O.
All right. Take care, Kevin.
All right. Good to talk to you. Oscott.com. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, do you care if Michael Sam takes a shower? It's kind of a weird story. We'll get to that in a minute. 580KIDL. Hey, now. 580KIDL, let's get you to work.
Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDL, Idaho's first radio station.
And don't forget the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Balloons flying all the time. We're going to be out there on Friday. Just take the day off or come in late, hang out with us. It'll kind of be the Miller Militia Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic Edition. Craig in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580KIDL. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Kevin.
Usually takes a lot to get you going, so glad to have you with us.
Oh, well, yeah. I stopped drinking coffee, so it does nowadays pretty much. at least the caffeinated stuff. So I wanted to comment on what the last gentleman said, the OOO guy, whoever he is. So if we look at everything in the country over the past 6-7 years or so, everything's a penalty. There's more laws, higher taxes, restrictions to the point of shutting businesses down. Everything is punitive. There is nothing that is positive, it seems like, when it comes to business or supporting businesses, which are the engines of the economy, because if people don't know, if there's no taxes, there's no government jobs, means there's no government jobs. If there's no businesses, there's no jobs for taxes to support this large government complex. So I can understand why Burger King it would be going to Canada, and I support them, because the only way it seems this administration, and I don't know about so much the previous one, although I'm sure that they needed their kick in the pants as well, really listens is through when something bad happens to them. I mean, they're very good at dishing it out, but they're not very good at taking it at all. And I have applaud Burger King, actually.
My big thing about this, though, is what about the opportunities lost for these American corporations that are, you know, leaving? As you said, there's no more jobs. Burger King has cut a lot of their stores anyway. They've sold a lot of them to their franchises. They've actually become more of a distribution center than a burger company anymore. And the idea that all of a sudden, you know, the tax rates are just so untenable that you got to leave.
If we collectively as a society and people do not send the message, and like I said, the message that we're getting is pain. Prescribed health care, you have to have it. Higher taxes, you have to have it. Enforcement by the IRS, you have to have it. If we don't play the same game back, because that's the game they play, they don't feel the pain. And I'm sorry if people lose their jobs. If I lost my job, I wouldn't like it. But I'm to the point to where there's things more important sometimes than having a job. You can get a job generally in a lot of places and support yourself. I mean, for crying out loud, Papa Murphy's hires all the time. Is it the ideal job? No. Will it keep you going? Yeah. But if we don't start sending the message and basically play their game back in a big way, they're not going to listen. They don't listen to reason. This is an argument, oh, let's just, you know, it should be patriotic. Well, what's so patriotic about taxing corporations to the point to where they want to leave, taxing people where they can't go out and maybe have a vacation or they can't buy something for their kids? What's so patriotic about that? I'm tired of people wrapping themselves in the flag, screwing you, and then saying, oh, I'm doing it because it's patriotic. You know, this kind of argument's disingenuous, it's intellectually dishonest, and it's aggressive. It's an attack on people.
Craig, anyway, thank you.
All right, take care, Kevin. Have a good one.
You too. I appreciate it. Let's get you to traffic now at 580KI. And don't forget the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic coming up, actually starting today, tomorrow, Friday. We're going to be there. Remember the Night Glow? What an awesome event. It certainly goes back to the times in the Treasure Valley where the balloons flew. And, of course, kind of our last farewell to summer. Boy, where did it go, right? We're going to be out there Friday. We'd love to see you. Stop by and say hey. It's a good reason to be late for work or just spend the day with the kids, right? All right, coming up next hour, let's get back to the West Ada school bond, why it was defeated. Is ISIS coming to America? And a tragic death involving a gun instructor. What it means for your Second Amendment rights.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.